picking up strangers. Let me tell you about the dangers.
All right, welcome to Picking Up Strangers. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 24.
Are you sure it's 24?
I'm pretty sure. Like a 95% chance.
95%, that's pretty good.
It's pretty solid. Gonna have to warn everybody up front, we might get interrupted once or twice. Maybe some unexpected noises. We're flying by the seat of our pants like we normally do.
Yeah.
What?
Like we normally do?
Yeah.
Like you choose to fly like this.
What do you mean I choose? Well, then you choose the co-pilot. So who's crazier?
I'm beginning to wonder.
You choose to jump into the seat right next to me.
I knew I should have. I knew it wasn't going to be the same. The right. It was.
What do you mean the right?
Huh?
What do you mean the right?
A designated day. It just got complicated, that's all.
It's not complicated.
This is Saturday.
It's as flexible as it can be. We could do it any day, anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Except for when you're out of town.
We could actually even do it then. I've already figured out how to do it that way.
Well, yeah, send me the newsletter.
When it has to be done, I will. Because I don't want to hear you yelling at me about how Mickey
I'm
Mouse
not yelling.
Everything
I'm not
is.
Yelling at all. I don't even know why you would say that I'm yelling.
Because you always yell at me.
No, I don't yell.
Just because you don't raise your voice doesn't mean you're not yelling.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
Okay, so.
Oh, if you can pick up on that frequency, okay, I understand. I'm just like, yeah, I don't raise my voice.
Well, how is, it's been a couple weeks. We had Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And then the first week of January, or excuse me, December, I was out of town. So
What's
been going on? Tell me what I've missed.
Thanksgiving was good. It was good. It was simple.
What'd you guys do?
Made turkey.
Did you drive?
Oh, yeah. After Thanksgiving Day meal.
Who was it? Just your household?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. Kept it simple this year. I like that.
I did, too. We hosted. Just
that's what it's supposed to be about, you know, family and friends.
Yeah.
But, you know.
How many friends did you have over?
None. Not a one.
Okay. Just making sure.
That's why I have family. Family.
How many family in total did you have over then?
It's the big F word, family. Total three.
Mm. Including yourself.
We don't, yeah.
I'm just curious if your mother-in-law came into town. Because usually she travels at this point in time.
No, she's getting older, man. She's 83 years old. You know, she can't travel like she used to. So my wife's going up there for Christmas to see her mother in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But... you know, usually, I think, what was it, last year or the year before, we went up there to Philadelphia. I remember why I like the winters in California much better than...
Because it's not a winter.
Man, people here, when it's 50 degrees, they think it's freezing. I'm like, no, you go up there to Philadelphia, wind blowing, and the average temp was like...
14?
No. It was a lot warmer than that. It was like 19.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. As soon as it breaks 60, all the girls bring out their scarves, their winter coats, their UGG boots. It's like, oh, good. We can wear all our winter clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea what winter clothes are. Not that I've endured any harsh winters, but I did live in Colorado for a couple of years, so I kind of experienced a winter.
Missouri. Those Missouri winters. There's, like I said, there's no weather Southern California can throw at me that I can't handle.
Yeah.
You got the 100% humidity in Missouri, St. Louis. The heat, it might be like 100 degrees.
Mm.
Might be a cool 90, but with the heat index, it'll add another 10 degrees to it.
Oh, with that wet towel slap that it gives you with the humidity?
Yeah. And so when you get 30% humidity out here, people are freaking out. And I'm like, this is cool. Ain't nothing wrong with this. 50 degrees, like, man, it's just cold. I guess my blood, they say your blood gets thinner. I haven't experienced that yet. I've been out here almost 20 years, over 20 years.
That's because you're angry. Your blood is constantly on boil.
No, it isn't. I'm not. I'm not always angry. Well, maybe I am.
There's always a certain bit. Underlying
oh, yeah, but
level
he,
of
he,
anger that
he
rolls.
He stays in the back. I keep him. He's got all the other personalities holding him back.
So would you...
Let's see. We talked about Thanksgiving, then we missed... What else did we miss?
That's it.
Oh, I got a new... I'm in a new car.
That's right. The situation. Let's hear about it.
Okay, so... if you remember last episode... I had to turn in the lease on my vehicle. And it was through exchange leasing. And... I didn't have another car lined up because I put my name, I didn't realize, I put my name on a list for at Fair, and the list was, I was like 30 deep on the list, so it right. looked like I was going to be without a car.
Right.
Because they completely out of cars in Southern California because everybody's trying to make extra money for the holidays.
Okay.
And... I thought, you know, put my name on a list 2 weeks out before my lease was done would be enough time. And then on their app, it says, oh, there's a 5 to 7 day wait on the list. Well, 7 days turned into 10 days. 10 days turned into 14 days. And I was like, oh, man, I'm a little nervous. And... so I went down there on a Monday morning before they even opened up. And I was like first in line. And this guy was there and I was like, you know, they start opening up. And he was like, I wanted to check where I am on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So I was here before and they told me 5 to 7 days. I said, it's getting real close to 14 days now. And I said, I have to turn in my lease, And so the guy was like, well, let me see what I can do. You know, we've been out of cars and, you know. And I was like, look, man, I appreciate any help you can give me. I said, it's the holiday season. You know, I tried to do everything right. I put it out 14 days. And, you know. Thinking that I would have enough time to get in another vehicle. Long story short, he was a nice guy at Lake Forest Fair. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Now everybody knows.
Huh?
You cut the line.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You sliced the line, man.
Did I slice the line? Did I do that? I used my Afro privileges. He remembered the Afro from the last time I was there.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, well, since you're here, you're the first one. They had all these subcompact cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that looked like it had some volume to it was this Kia Soul. Green. It's like a Tropic Thunder green.
I'm a soul man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like,
you should play that on loop in the car.
Is it back on there?
It's back on there.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bright lime green Kia Soul.
It's not lime green. It's Tropic Thunder green.
It's lime green. If you want to see it, look on our Facebook. Picking up all one word, stranger second word. There's a nice picture.
Nobody
of it right
goes
there on there.
On. Nobody goes to that page.
What do you mean? Well, we'll find out.
Okay,
people
we'll
get to take a peek
out.
At you and your new ride.
Yeah. it's not, you know, it's a good car so far. I mean, it's got lots of Afro room, man.
Yeah.
My head doesn't even feel like it's going to get close to the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah, that makes it good. But
just
as
so you
far
know,
as,
Ricky Rowe already liked the picture. People do see this Facebook page.
excuse me.
But well, here's the deal. Is like I told you on the phone, I love the Kia Soul. I used to have a Kia Soul. I got the Kia Soul because I was looking for a car, and it said top 10 cars to purchase under $20,000. And number one on the list was the Kia Soul. Now, for those of you who know, it's the hamster commercial car.
Yes, yes. That's the reason why. I was like, man.
But it's one of the most fun cars to drive, in my opinion. For me, it was like driving in Mario Kart every single day.
Yeah, it's like that.
Like, I wanted to get another one. My fiance stopped me from doing that. But if I had my druthers, I'd love to have my Kia Soul back.
It doesn't have the space as far as trunk space. It doesn't have a lot of space
like
that.
No, it's not a huge trunk. You can fit enough in there, though.
Well, you can barely fit enough in there because I had a couple of regular size suitcases and a backpack, and I had three people, and that's all that back piece could hold. It doesn't hold a lot. And if you're carrying one person, yeah, fold down the seats, boom, you got plenty of room. If you're carrying two people, no problem, boom, fold down half a seat, you got the rest of the room. But if you're carrying anything over three people, they might have to get a bigger car. I'm just telling you, that Nissan Altima had a trunk where you could put...
Well, yeah, but that's like a full-size sedan versus...
Yeah. Yeah. Mario Kart.
But as far as comfort level for
individuals... Oh, it feels good and it drives good. Great. And then... So I've had the car 2 weeks, and I'm pretty sure by... Well, Monday I'm gonna have to get brakes put on it.
Why, are they squeaking already?
Oh man, it's making one of them sounds that they don't give you 5 stars for, man. It's like
5 stars.
Yeah, they made some changes too, man. Uber made some changes. There's a lot of Uber news out there.
So are you or I gonna have to be actual employees of Uber as of January? Somebody told me that.
I don't know, man.
I just don't understand how they can force you to be an employee. It's an independent contractor work.
Well, Uber's not the one that's trying to do that.
It's the state
of California, and they put their nose where it don't belong because they don't understand the flexibility of working for a company where you can make your own hours.
Right.
And it doesn't just affect rideshare drivers, this is going to affect barbers, nail salons, a lot of people that work on, because they can, from what I understand the law, the way the law works, you have to have those people as employees.
Oh, you mean in other industries?
Yeah, other industries, they'll have to comply to the same thing. And Uber's been making little changes here and there to try to shore up. No, well, they had a petition and they were fighting it, but I can see different changes on the app as far as what you have to do to qualify, make extra money, and they're sending you these bulletins that have flexibility in bold letters, like, okay, it'll still be flexible. And it's like, I don't know. The newest thing was now if you're diamond level or, you know, one of the higher levels, asterisk, depending on the airport, you get priority. So if you're dropping off at a airport, you immediately get the next.
Well, is Uber even in airports anymore? They're not in Ontario.
John Wayne.
That's for sure. Well, John so Wayne, not in Ontario or LAX. Because I think if they're not in Ontario, they can't be in LAX because they're the same airport.
Well, LAX has them on the side now. They have them in this big old lot right next to Terminal 1 on the bottom floor.
Just to pick up people who are leaving.
That's the, yeah, that's the pickup for people that know that are coming in. You can't pick up on the top level. You can only drop off.
But my question is Uber allowed in LAX? Because they're not allowed at.
No, they're still allowed to drop off. They're just not allowed to pick up at the terminals. They have a lot right next to Terminal 1 now.
Well, I've been through the Lyft one, and I thought it was great. I didn't have any issues with it.
They had some things that they had to work out of it, and
I got pulled in, and I didn't even realize I was getting pulled in. I was somewhere else and didn't realize I was close enough to the lot to get pulled in. And so I went for a pickup. Surprise, surprise, it's the airport. I'm like, motherfuck. But it was actually with Lyft, and it went smooth. I mean, you got to drive through this maze, but, you know, once I got there, everybody was in, and I was out. And I was like, oh, that was...
Yeah, they gave you the code?
Hell of a lot nicer. No, with Lyft, there's no code. No. They just get in. But I've worked with Uber where they have the code before.
Right.
Where it's not an actual specific person that's requested. Right. They just get in the car, they give you the code.
Right.
And you enter it in, and that's their ride. That's what they did at Coachella. So I like that system, too. I think that system's great. Just go get in the car, give them your code, and you're on your way.
That makes sense.
I did, you know, in speaking to how people use rideshare, you know, to supplement income or to, you know, better their life or whatever, on my way to LAX, I got picked up. So I left LAX Sunday. Which, when I made the reservations, I didn't realize it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, right? Because I made it 2-3 weeks ago. I didn't even think about it. I was confused at why there were so minimal flights that were available. And then I realized, son of a bitch, it's like the biggest travel day in the entire year for the most part.
Yep.
So, well done, Mike. So I had to leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning. The guy who picked me up, we got to talking and everything, and he's actually a carpenter. He's a construction worker. So we were talking about, you know, why you do it, you know, just do this like when it rains. Or he goes, you know, here's the deal, man. He goes, you know, when it rains, we don't work. So that's a problem. He goes, and you're not always certain that you're going to be on a job or not. He goes, so what we do is, you know, we go and find side work. We go stand by, you know, Home Depot or something, speak English. People feel comfortable with that. He goes, but the problem is that, you know, in doing that kind of work, you're really kind of on the hook. They could not pay you. They could wait a long time to pay you. They could decide they don't want to pay you as much as they said they were going to pay you and all that kind of stuff. He goes, so it was a real hard time because I had to chase down money all the time.
Yep.
I said, that makes sense. He goes, you know, when I started driving with Uber, he goes, and I make the same amount of money as side jobs. I can get paid the day of. I don't got to hunt down anybody's money. He goes, I get up early in the morning anyway, so I do a lot of early morning stuff. He goes, or, you know, if I'm done at work at 2:30, I'll work 2-3 hours on the way there. He goes, and I'll tell you what, the guys that I work with, these construction guys were, you know, poking fun at me. And you're like, man, why are you an Uber driver? That's, you know, lame work or something like that. And he told him how much he was making in the times that he worked and that he didn't have to chase down his money. And he signed up like 5 construction dudes.
Oh, and now he's making money on them for referrals.
I said, you gave him your code, right? And he's like, well, hell yeah,
yeah,
you're my code.
Yeah, now he's making even more money, laughing at their ass. Yeah, now who's lame?
Right.
Now who's lame?
That's right.
But, you know, and I know I've said it before, but that's a good example of perception.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also a good example for people to understand that, yeah, unemployment is at an all-time low. But at the same time, there are more people working multiple jobs, not to get rich, but just to make it.
Yeah.
Just like you said, that guy... You know, he's dependent on these good people that hired him under the table.
Right.
That's your first, you know, that's your first red flag that they're doing it under the table so they can take advantage of you if they want to. And apparently they do it on a regular enough basis where this guy's got friends that was like, fuck that shit. I'll work for a rideshare before I have to chase down and maybe get what I earned. I already gave them my labor. Mm. I'm just asking for what they promised me.
Right.
And I've heard that story before. Not that they went to work for Uber, but in construction, how hard it is and the things you have to do in order to get what you earn. Just get what you earn.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you create a villain and a hero in every story that you tell.
No.
It's not
because
that people are definitely
going
there to look for
advantage.
Everybody
listening to me it that can hear my voice knows that you don't run a household on one income anymore.
Well, no, not in California. Absolutely
and
not.
And most people, because I've done this at comedy shows, I tell them to clap if you got a job. And you got people clap. And clap if you got two jobs. And a lot of people clap. And I'm clap if you got three jobs. And it's three jobs. Now, don't try to sell me on that shit that unemployment's at an all-time low. Yeah, it is, because people are working multiple jobs. Even people that are in their 60s and 70s are still working. Maybe that's added to the fact that there's less unemployment. You got more people working because they're working longer and they're working more jobs. Nobody wants to see that reality. But believe me, that's what's really happening.
I don't know if nobody wants to see that reality.
No. There's a lot of people in the United States and in different countries that are being sold that, you know, all-time low unemployment. Yeah, you work in multiple jobs. And like I said, back in the old days, you know, some people worked an extra job not to make more, to get to lift themselves to the next level.
Right.
Where a lot of people right now are working multiple jobs just to keep the shit together.
Well, that's because a lot of things are expensive.
They're expensive.
I'll bring this down to something that you don't agree with, but that is true. A lot of it has to do with the minimum wage hike.
No.
Yes, it does.
No. It doesn't have anything to do with...
Let me ask you a question. Do you spend more at McDonald's today than you did 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Significantly more.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom of, like, the economic run, is when you look at something that was so inexpensive that has no longer become inexpensive. Why?
No, let me explain something to you so you get this straight.
Okay.
Okay? You want to use burger places, for example.
Sure.
Burger King.
Uh-huh.
You can get 10 nuggets for $1.49.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? You've seen that, right?
Sure.
Do you know what they used to sell those same 10 nuggets for before?
How much?
It was over $5.
Okay.
So for years, they sold you those nuggets for $4.99.
Okay.
And now they decide, hey, you know what? We're going to cut into our profits, and we're going to sell those same chicken nuggets.
Well, there's your first mistake. I guarantee you they're not the same. I guarantee you they're not the same. Now, knowing that I have worked in the food industry before, think about your retort, but I can guarantee you they're not the same.
I worked in the food industry before, too. So you're telling me they're using raggedy chickens to make those chicken nuggets?
There's a lot of way to make chicken nuggets. If you can tell me the part of the chicken that a nugget comes from.
A nugget comes from the scraps.
Okay. Well, some of them do.
And let me tell you something. They ain't paying high dollar for chicken scraps.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Some of them do come from chicken scraps. Uh-huh. However, some chicken
Burger
nuggets
Burger King does
work.
Not does not proclaim that there's a 100% all white meat
Well, that's another
special
ad.
Yeah.
That doesn't
special,
mean anything.
Yeah, but what my point is, they ain't saying that. They just saying we selling you chicken nuggets 10 for $1.49.
Here's the other thing that I would look at.
They could have sold you that same package of nuggets for $1.49 5 years
with
ago.
Every company, there's a lost leader. There's something to get you in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the dollar menu at McDonald's, because you used to be able to get their McDonald's chicken sandwich for $1.79. So there's always a lost leader. But let me ask you something. When you go to McDonald's, how many times have you ever walked away without fries?
Oh, probably
on a percentage basis.
I'd say 65% of the time.
You leave without fries.
Without fries.
You just get a sandwich and a drink.
I usually get a salad.
Okay. Well, you're weird.
Huh?
Who the fuck goes to McDonald's to get a salad?
Because it's quick. It's already made and it's ready to go.
What is a cheeseburger?
Huh?
You don't even have to use
not
a
even,
fork.
That's not real.
You just stick it in your face.
I know. You gotta watch what you're sticking in your face.
So by your logic, it's crazy.
No, it isn't
it's
crazy.
Your point is the salad's already made. So is the burger.
I would have.
You go to McDonald's to make a healthy choice.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I know. At least when they don't have any recalls on the greens or the lettuce. That's the one thing I know that I can get at McDonald's that I know, hey, you know what? This Southwest salad, it's the best I can do as far as being healthy right now.
It's actually not.
I'd like to...
Egg McMuffin is the healthiest item on the menu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Calorie-wise.
I've been to the doctor.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you put the salad dressing on it?
Yeah. A little of that, what's his name? Paul Newman. Ranch salad.
Mm-hmm.
Because all his proceeds go to charity, man. He's a good dude. God bless him.
So, anyways, my point was, most people go to McDonald's for a burger, fries, and a Coke. Or something in that
and
realm.
And diabetes and something high in that realm. Blood pressure.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the economics of it, not the freaking health factors.
Well,
nobody should be eating at McDonald's, period.
Right.
However,
well, they is, can eat however, at McDonald's. People can eat at McDonald's. You just don't make it a regular.
It is fast. It used to be cheap. And it was convenient because they're pretty much located everywhere. Okay? French fries didn't used to be $2.35 for a medium. $2.35 for a medium French fry.
But you want to believe that's because they... No, the thing
the
is...
The cost
they're
of
trying...
labor has increased significantly for basic goods. That
the cost of living includes... has gone up considerably
you're looking
without
at the chicken and
having
egg.
Wages keeping up with the cost of living.
I'm not saying that that's not a factor.
It's a big factor.
What I'm telling you is that the increase of minimum wage for basic non-skilled jobs is something else that has it's increased that same product or that same quotient. That is what's also driving up the cost of living. How can you justify $15 an hour for someone who's cooking fries anywhere? I don't care if it's McDonald's. Anywhere. Someone who stands
everything
there sets a
else,
timer.
Everything else is going up. You want to tell
you
make it.
You can't justify that cost for that sort of an unskilled labor position. Now,
sure
if you
can.
Now, if you don't like the wage that you were working, guess what you do? You get a second job. And you go to school. And you do it. Or you develop a
not
skill.
Not everybody can do
or
that.
Or you get a trade.
Not
or
everybody
you go,
can
do everybody
that.
Can do that. You
not
can,
everybody
you can, go
can
learn
afford
a trade.
That.
You can go learn a trade.
Yeah.
I've learned quite a few trades. I didn't go to school.
Uh-huh.
I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me the less you can afford school, the more accessibility you have to funds to help you go to school it is. If you make a middle class income, financial aid's hard to come by. If you make significantly less than a working class income, it's a lot easier to come by. If you make over, you just pay for it.
You know how much debt you go into?
100% I do.
Yeah, exactly. And some people don't want to be in that. No, that's not an issue. No, that figures into the equation. Do you want to have that stone around your neck?
It depends.
$100,000.
How bad is where you're at right now?
Then you meet the girl of your dreams, and then you have a wedding. And that thing's over $25,000.
That's a choice.
Yeah. There are a lot of choices.
That's
some
choice.
People do not choose to have that credit weight around their neck.
Then
because
you,
sometimes
you have to accept the alternative to that decision.
Uh-huh. $15 an hour at the fry stand. That's what
Which
you...
Which is too much.
No.
I'm sorry. It's way too much.
That's for you. That's what you believe. You don't think that...
How much
would
you pay
the... I'm talking about a fair wage.
Let me ask you a
question. Fair wage.
If
you
owned one restaurant, okay, and you hired some numbskull...
Don't ask me, because I'm different than some of these knuckleheads running places.
How much would you pay them?
I pay them what is fair. What is fair. That's what I pay
them. There's no laws. What would you pay them?
Are they cool?
What does that have to
do they come to work on time?
Sure.
Do they respect me?
They come to work.
Then I will pay them the maximum amount the law will allow. That's what my ignorant ass would do.
Then you run out of, then you lose the business, then you have no job for that person.
No, no, because you treat people right. You give them what they're worth. That's what they're worth. You want them to come and work at your place, and they can't afford to live where they're working, so then they have to commute. Then they have to buy a car. They have to buy a car, or they have to use public transportation.
Yes.
Then they end up late because you can't depend on the public transportation here.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is true.
No, you can make sure that you're on time. I've had
it's
to take,
hard.
I was more
it's
on
hard.
Time with public transportation than I ever was with private transportation.
Well, that's because you have different priorities. I don't know, Mike. Sometimes you go out there in la-la land.
No, sometimes I think you live in, or you want to live in a utopia where you can pay somebody as much as they're worth. No, they have a job. They were hired for a job. Your job is to cook French fries. How much do I need to pay you to make sure that you stay and that you are reasonably happy?
And that's not all they do. That's the thing. That's not all they do.
What else do they do? Tell me.
I'm sure they probably have to help stock. I'm sure they have to go to McDonald's meetings. I'm sure that they have to do some cleaning and that kind of stuff.
That's all part of the job.
Yeah. So it's not just... That's the picture, the illusion that they want you to paint in your head. That all they do is fry French fries.
There's no illusion that anybody's painting my head.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what
because
the
they do more. They
I
do
know
more.
What the position is.
They
I've
do
worked
more.
The fucking position.
Then say they work at McDonald's and they get paid $15 an hour.
I don't care if it's
don't
McDonald's.
Don't paint the picture in their head that,
I don't wanna,
oh,
I don't wanna
it's
pay.
Just somebody standing by a fryer and he pushes them down in the fry.
Right.
Fry juice in the
so
fry
are you
grease.
Are you telling me then that a person with non-skilled labor, someone who's cooking fries, should be paid as well as, let's not even say a doctor, let's say as paid as well as a carpenter. Someone who spent time, learned a skill, perfected the skill, was good enough at his job that he's wanted by companies. They should be paid the same exact amount because they're doing their job, they're showing up on time, and they're
carpenter,
friendly.
What carpenter gets paid $15 an hour?
I'm asking you, should they be paid the same?
That's a different skill. I'm not saying that they should get paid the same as
you're
a carpenter,
me,
but there's no carpenter
that
making $15 an hour unless he's over here without a Social Security number.
You're telling me... My point is not that a carpenter is making $15 an hour. My point is, you said, do they show up on time? Do they do their job? Well, they probably got some cleaning to do. Guess what? A carpenter's job is to build shit, but they got to sweep up their sawdust. They got to clean up their nails. They got to do all the other shit that they do as well. They're not saying, oh, I got to do this extra work. I'm not just hammering nails, screwing screws, building structures. I've got to do this other stuff, so I need more money. No, that's part of your whole fucking general job.
Okay.
Just
so,
like the fry guy's general job is
no,
to
and
show up
he,
on time.
And like I said, no.
Maybe
no,
it's stock. Maybe
no.
It's clean.
He's
maybe
a crew. He's
that's
the reason why they call them crew members. Okay? They're a crew. They're a team. They have jobs to do. They don't just fry. Okay?
But where is the skill? Where's the skill to stock? Where's the skill to clean? Where's the skill? There's no skilled labor involved. $15 an hour is too much for non-skilled labor. Period.
That's what you think. That's because your ass is brainwashed. You don't see that they raise rent, the price of food's gone up. Everything's gone up except the minimum wage.
Why do you think the price of food has gone up? Why do you think the price of food has gone up?
Because they're taking more money. No. They're not paying people money.
Yes, they are.
They're sitting on top of profits. Super profits that the government helps them with not paying taxes on. A lot of those companies. But then you want to blame...
No, a lot of those companies are farmers that are getting government subsidies. So if you want to see where the money's
and McDonald's,
coming from...
McDonald's gets government subsidies. To advertise.
Almost everyone is a franchise. Okay. So that's an individual owner. So McDonald's as a company, do you know what they are? They're a real estate company. They're not even a food company. McDonald's is a real estate company that owns plots of lands that in their lease agreement they have to have a McDonald's on. Their business model is evil genius 100%, mm-hmm. And I have no doubts
Does the government need to subsidize McDonald's?
Subsidize McDonald's farmers
and their advertising?
They don't subsidize their advertising.
Look it up.
How can they advertise subsidize
some
advertising?
Of that, they give money to McDonald's so that they can spread.
I don't think you're right.
Look it up. You look it up.
Look
it
up right now.
Tell you right
I don't
now.
Believe that that's a fact. All right. Say something that revolves around rideshare. What were your rides this week?
I picked up a very interesting couple. They live in Laguna. I think they were in their late 70s, early 80s. And she was from Joplin, Missouri. And she worked at the Pony Express Museum for 33 years.
Really?
Yeah. Sweetest. They look like them Pixar or Disney old white people, man. You know, it's like, oh, man, I seen you in the cartoons before. Really sweet old couple, man. And, I mean, the history that she could tell you about all that. She wrote a book with one of the curators at the museum. And they talked about, they named all the cities that the Pony Express went to, and they did a book on the different riders. And for those that don't know, Pony Express was basically UPS, Federal Express, before there was Federal Express or UPS. Somebody got on a horse, they rode their shit to the next town and delivered the mail. And that's basically how a big part of communicating from one place to another, especially through letters, that's how they did it back in the Old West. Then we got telegrams, you know, that shit. But those guys used to ride.
First internet.
Those guys used to ride hard, man, with mail.
Mail and cash. This isn't a rideshare ride, but it felt like I was driving. So on my flight back from... Well, number one, it was in the Bay Area this week. And I'll tell you what, we better thank our stars we're not driving out in that fucking crazy town. Because that place is a zoo. I haven't been to San Francisco since, I think, the tech boom. Right? So you have this huge melting pot of rich tech people, rich finance people, and then some of the craziest homeless I've ever seen. I got the place that I stayed at didn't have a parking lot at the hotel, and I had to park like two blocks away, right at the parking structure. There's a place in San Francisco called the Tenderloin. Do you know of this? It's like a part of this. You know, there's like Chinatown, Union Square.
Yeah, I remember hearing
there's a place called Tenderloin
in a movie,
and it's like it's pretty. Pretty ghetto. I mean, like the ideal term of ghetto. I didn't know that that's where this hotel was located. It's like at the very end of it. So it's not in the heart of it, but it's the very end of it. As I'm walking past You know how when they do construction on high rises and they put like that scaffolding over the sidewalk so you can walk? Mm-hmm. But you know how New York has a lot of it. You know, you just kind of walk in and shit. I'm walking through it and I look down and there's a guy with a piece of tin foil lighting it up with a straw in his mouth. And I go, oh, I've seen this in the fucking movies before. That guy's smoking crack. And I keep walking and I got my luggage with me. I'm a little bit nervous because I'm like, I'm obviously not from here. And I'm walking with all my shit with me. I walk past and there's a dude with the glass pipe, just like I've seen on America's Most Wanted and everything else. Just blazing up crack. Three times in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Now here's the thing. Is that, I won't lie, I was a little bit nervous from where I was at. However, as I look around, there's business ladies walking back and forth. There's young girls walking back and forth. There's young kids walking back and forth. And I quickly realized this is not something new for all these people. And everyone seems very comfortable just walking through. So it was I'm kind of in a dangerous spot. But after looking at it, I thought, these people just living. Now, they're not living the way I might agree with or the way that's probably best for them, but they're just living and they're just going to do whatever they want to do and they don't seem to bother anybody, and that seemed to be the case. But back to driving through San Francisco, it was crazy. And to my original point, on my flight home, I was on Southwest. I sit down and behind me is every stereotypical drunk white girl at a Costa Mesa. And they're in the very last row, and I'm right there to where they have that loud talk where they talk like this, and they don't really realize. I know all about their fucking family. I know which nephews they dislike, which nephews they do like. I know all the drama. And the thing, for an hour and a half, never changed volume, never stopped talking. I mean, it's like, and I'm fucking pissed off and blah, blah, blah. Like, no filter whatsoever. And I just thought, how can one of them not say, ooh, we should probably be a little bit quieter. Or we don't have to talk at full volume. Or, hey, probably shouldn't drop so many F-bombs when we're talking because it's a plane full of people we don't know. I don't get that kind of consideration. I do. Even when I'm drunk,
I do.
I don't act like
that. I get that. I get it.
What do you mean you get it?
When there's no consequences to face, some people do whatever the fuck they want.
I mean,
whatever the fuck they want because they feel like they can. And you're not going to say anything different. And that's the reason why it goes on and on and on. If that had been a guy with a turban on his head. If that had been a Mexican family that was doing that, if that was a black family that was on that plane doing that and saying that, it would be on the news. But it's not, because that happens on the regular. Because I pick up people at the airport and they tell me about the people that clown on the planes. Clown on the planes don't make it on there. The people that make it on there are on the news for a reason.
Well, here's the thing, is that I don't feel like they were doing anything. I feel like it goes back to the oblivious. It's not on purpose. It's I don't even know if it's, I don't know, maybe it is entitlement. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
because you know what? I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't raise that way.
Well, that's
what
I'm
saying. But number two, I wouldn't do it because I know what the repercussions could be from that. Just like when you were talking about getting in here and then you said, oh, I might turn on the alarm. I don't like to be around when alarms go off, okay? Whether I have the most innocent intentions, I don't want to be around when alarms go out. That's for a reason. I don't raise my voice and talk shit on an airplane, not only because it's being polite and being respectful and being a good human being, but it's also the fact that I know that there could be some repercussions that I'm not ready for.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it more repercussions, like you hear your mom and your dad in the back of your head say, don't act up like an asshole? Because I feel it's more that than it is, I'm a white chick, I can do whatever the fuck I want, and I can talk. I just feel it's that obliviousness of just being
courteous. It's those two things holding hands. It's those two things holding hands, one and one, together. It's oblivious and it's, hey, no one's going to challenge me on that because...
Well, that's actually an interesting topic. And here's the thing is, I had the feeling, you know what? I need to turn around to these girls to just be quiet. I personally needed some quiet. You know, it's an hour and a half trip. I'm stuck in the middle seat. I'm fucking uncomfortable to begin with. I just want to get home. I've been gone for a week. I don't want to hear your life, to be honest with you. You know? But in my mind, I'm like, they're obviously drinking. You're going to turn around and make a stink, and then you're going to get the fucking indignant attitude, like, what the fuck is your problem? And now there is a problem, right? And who's going to look like the bad guy?
No, there's not. Now there's a problem. There was a problem, and it wasn't addressed. And it would address that problem if it was someone other than those girls, that it would have been addressed, okay? Okay.
I don't know. I feel like an experiment needs to be done for that reason. Because
wait a minute. How many damn videos do you want to see on TV that shows that?
Well, here's the thing. Videos, you know, cell phone footages. You don't know what happened before. You don't know what happened after. I want a controlled experiment.
I'm not
so
pretending.
That it shows. So that shows.
I'm not pretending.
And let me explain to you why.
And you know why.
Let me explain to you why.
In your scenario, if...
But that's me looking at something very specific. That's me with my own preconceived notions, description, and something else. What I would like to see is with a controlled experiment. Because, in my opinion, the people working on the airplane should have said, you know what, guys, can you kind of drop it down a notch? That's what I would say. Now, should they do it if nobody complains? Because there's people on the other side. For some reason, the back of the chain was of the plane was chatty. Because even on the other side, there were people having conversations and stuff. And it was loud enough to hear, and maybe it was extra loud because these gals were right behind me. You know, but what I chose to do, instead of complain, instead of, create a confrontation, I put my earplugs in.
And yeah, went about that's my one day. Way. That's one way.
You know, but at the same time, again, goes unchecked.
Uh-huh. And that's what's happening in America right now. Everybody's putting their earplugs in, and they're willing to let things keep going the way they are, go unchecked. That's what you're doing. You're putting your earplugs in. You're hearing what you want to hear, okay? And you're letting things go unchecked.
Well,
and it's not just here, because it's happening in Hong Kong. It's happening in Brazil. It's happening in the United Kingdom. It's happening in a lot of places. And everybody thinks, oh, I can be safe. All I got to do is put these plugs in my ears and let things go on unchecked. Unchecked. This is unprecedented the way things are right now. I'm telling you.
I feel like your thoughts of it are a little...
You got to speak up.
Well, the thing is, people do speak up. But people also speak up with the information that they have. Here's something I was thinking about the other day. Is that for decades, maybe even a century, maybe even longer, since the beginning of the country, we were taught to believe the news.
No.
We were. We were taught to believe the newspapers and the news.
No. You were taught that. I wasn't taught that.
The country was taught that.
No, the country was taught a bunch of lies, too, and they believed that.
The country was taught to believe the newspapers.
No, there were different newspapers. You could pretend. I know a little bit about history. They weren't taught just to believe the news.
That was the source of news.
I come from Missouri, and it's the show me state. You can show it to them on paper, and they got to see it with their eyes. And that's what a lot of America used to be about. I got to see it with my eyes. Now, Now people are saying, I don't believe it started
with the papers. Then it started with the television, with news there. That's how people saw it with their eyes. They couldn't be, if you lived in Missouri, you couldn't be in Oregon to see what was going on in Oregon. And if you lived in Oregon, you couldn't be in Missouri to see what was going on in Missouri. You had to see it through some other vehicle, be it newspapers, be it television. But now it's internet. Now it's cell phone footage. Now we have a whole concoction of noise going on. So I apologize, but that's... There was a report, actually it was, I was listening to Howard Stern, and they were reading a news article that says, it was the Hillary Clinton interview, as a matter of fact. She was interviewed on it. If you haven't heard it, it's a great interview.
Yes.
But she says that 55% of the United States gets their news from fucking Facebook. I can't believe that that's, I mean, I can believe that that's a true fact. I can't believe that that's what people are really fucking doing. How could you... knowingly just get all your news from Facebook?
How could you knowingly get all your news from one news station? How could you knowingly get all your news from Fox News?
Here's the other
thing. How could you knowingly do that? How could you be comfortable in that bubble where that's the only place you get your news? Or you baptize yourself in the talk radio of AM radio, FM radio. I mean, people have their realities that they want to protect, and they're like bubbles. And as soon as you go close to popping that bubble, it pops. It pops, but they want to hang on to that reality. The people are being fed news that isn't even news.
Well, that's why I go back to the country was trained to listen to news.
Country was trained to believe. People were trained to believe what other people told them. Let's make that straight.
The news was supposed to be the credible source to where they were journalists. They did research. They did everything else. Now that was before news stations or news channels started. I would guess just to say pick a side, or were influenced by a certain mindset. So. I think a lot of people don't acknowledge
but the
fact that
they changed the laws on that kind of stuff. You used to have a point counterpoint. Okay, it wasn't just looking at it from one side. But nobody wants to do that because it exposes one side or the other's lies. So they took that out. It's just like you don't have to be on the radio and tell the truth anymore. You can just lie. You can make up lies. There's people making millions upon millions of dollars letting people come on the radio and tell lies. And then they sell their book so that they can make money off of those lies.
They use it as to express their opinions.
No, but they don't present them as opinions. They present them as facts. If you don't believe me, listen to this show called Coast to Coast.
Who's the host?
George Norrie.
Uh-huh.
And they have people that come on there. I listened to a guy talk last night about haunted trains.
Okay.
And haunted train conductors.
Okay.
And he was talking about these ghost trains. People telling these stories about... But he was presenting it like it was a fact.
But that's his fact. Now, as an adult, you should be able to determine.
No, that's what
that guy thinks. He's crazy.
They have people that talk about the people that live underground in a inner earth.
Yeah.
They talk about.
But as an adult, you should still be able to go either subscribe to that theory or not. Not be like, oh my gosh, this guy has seen them.
Yeah. There are people in this world that do that. Do you know that there are people right now? I talked to a young lady in my car. We were having a conversation. She thought that palm trees, California always had palm trees. Palm trees are native to California. Uh-huh. She believed that.
Okay.
And I was like, are you serious? You don't know that palm trees come from someplace else? They're not native to here? She goes, no. But she believed that. I said, you need to check that out. I had another couple that were from New York. and the moon was full. Uh-huh. And they said, how come the moon is bigger in California than it is in New York? How come it's bigger? And at first I thought that they were pulling my leg. But then her friends were trying to justify the reason why. Because California is closer to the equator. Okay. What the fuck does that mean? Are you serious? Do you not? But there are people that actually believe that. Just like, you know, people believe that you can have a spontaneous abortion if you're raped. Yes.
Look that shit up. See what congressman or senator said that on the House floor. Okay? These are supposed to be educated people that should know better, that should have a basic...
Well, I think it's been proven that most people aren't as educated in Congress as they seem to present.
Okay, so that's the reason why you can't... You have to be thirsty for knowledge, and you have to seek it out, and you have to seek it from different places. I don't watch Fox News. I monitor Fox News. Okay? I watch it so I know why people think that way. I'll listen to the same story on BBC, on MSNBC, and Fox News, and I can see the subtle differences between that same story. I'll also listen to it on traffic and talk radio, that same story, where I take the pictures of those people out of my head and I listen to the voice of those people. I listen to the words that are chosen when they're given out that same news story. And in all of that, I pull out what is true. Because sometimes they try to hide it, just like you said, you know.
Well, then I just got a new idea. As people, Friendly Frank is out there watching you. So I'm going to challenge you with this, Friendly Frank. Every time we meet, I would like a news story that you've seen. It's almost like doing the news. We're going to do a little news broadcast of your own on true fact fiction.
True fact fiction.
True fact fiction. To where you've gone through the exact process you just described, and you lay it to the people and give them the truth.
Well...
And we'll call it the Truth News.
Okay.
TRUF News.
Let me ask you something.
Is that a great idea?
How many times does someone have to lie to you before you believe that they are a liar?
I let people lie to me. I don't mind. Now, generally, I know within the first time. But if you feel like I'm somebody that you need to lie to, you got a lot bigger problems than whatever lies you want to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, if you wanna tell, just like I told you, if you wanna tell me that your dad's fucking John Travolta, I believe you. Sure, I'll go with it.
Cause that don't hurt you.
I don't know why
that
you feel like you wanna tell me that.
That don't hurt you. That's
you know,
the reason
and I do, and I do. I do question a lot of things. I get a lot of fights with my fiance because she's always mad because I'm double checking. She'll tell me something and I'll look it up. She goes, "Are you looking it up?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Why wouldn't you just trust me?" And I'm guilty of the same thing. If I tell you something, I do expect you to believe it because if I'm telling you it and I am presenting it as a fact, I truly feel that I've done the research to present it as a fact. Now, if I'm telling you something and I think I might have heard it somewhere or somebody told me, and in my head I believe it's a fact, but I've never looked it up, I'll tell you, hey, that's a mic fact. So I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's a mic fact. That's what I believe.
Okay.
So
I do the same thing, but I'll tell you to Google it. Google that shit. See what pops up.
I double check things because there's a lot of times I've been caught with my pants down because I presented something as a fact, argued it as a fact, not have done the research behind it. Because
somebody sold you on that idea that it was a fact.
Okay.
Someone sold you on that idea.
Or I just believed it. Uh-huh. Whatever you want to call it. Uh-huh. Or that's what I think is true.
Let me ask you this. How many things have to happen over and over again before you stop believing that's a coincidence?
Oh, not often. But I am somebody who likes to look at all angles.
Mm-hmm.
I am somebody who likes to say, well, there are these other possibilities. Just because one thing happened doesn't mean it's the exact opposite in maliciousness. There could have been all these other factors that fell into place. So, if anything, I probably look into it more than most people, I would say.
How many of your friends are in jail right now?
None.
Okay. None of your friends or associates that you know are in jail?
No, that's not true. I have one.
Okay. I got one.
An associate. Too. A friend from of a high friend, school, yeah. But who I really liked, dude. But ended up being in jail for something real serious.
Yeah.
So
I got one of those too. And it was the last person in the world. But he would in high school that you would thought would be doing a life sentence. But my point is, you start looking at things like that. Who surrounds themselves with people that lie on a regular basis, that hide the truth on a regular basis? Who surrounds yourself with people that would put themselves in a position where they're breaking the law?
Well, here's my question to you.
Who does that?
Here's my question to you.
What kind of person?
Is that the people who don't see that? I don't understand why you're so concerned about them. I know what you're going to tell me why you're concerned about them. But I'm going to go back to something we argued before. Your energy and effort, I feel, would be better used gathering and providing support for the people who don't than trying to change those people's minds. Because if they still feel that way, if they still don't see a coincidence, if they still don't see a cycle of events, then you're never going to change their mind. So why even attempt it?
Then you got to try to change their hearts, man. That's the only other thing.
That's what you tell me.
You know,
but that's so much.
Everybody wants to go for the dome shot. They think that the dome shot works. That's what's going to take it down. People have hardened up. They've picked just one side. They're not able. They don't have the. They don't want to. They don't want to see it from a different angle. Because if you see it from a different angle, it's ugly. It's very ugly. And then you have to look at yourself. That's the reason why you ain't going to get no apologies out of this shit that's getting ready to go down. You ain't going to get that. Because they don't feel like we should apologize. And that's that to me is the crazy part. And all you have to do is look at history. Look how things have been done in history. How many times do we have to see? Sometimes it feels like I've seen this movie before. There's just different actors in different places. We've been through things very similar in that, and it gives us as human beings a chance to learn and understand and to do better. And maybe we're not doing better. Maybe we can do better. We all fall short, but we have to at least try. I don't see a lot of people trying. I mean, you know, everywhere. I mean, you look at the amount of accidents that happen every day just because somebody's texting on the phone. They're only thinking about themselves. I see accidents on the street almost every day. And a lot of those, they're not even, you can't even blame the drunk driver because now he's Ubering it. These are people that are so self-absorbed into themselves that they can be going down the highway at 70, 80 miles an hour. And they just did a study with Geico that they put the little things in there to check your habits and like that.
Right.
Out of an hour, 12 minutes out of your hour when you're driving is spent distracted. 12 minutes out of that hour is spent distracted. So you're either playing with your phone or you're texting.
Well, I'm sure that's increased with the advent of cell phones. However, distracted.
But my point being, my point,
radio,
yeah.
Eating,
but my point being is that those people could give less than a fuck if they run into somebody and hit somebody. Los Angeles is the number one place to get hit and someone run away and leave your body where they hit it. Number one place. Now you got China with a
1.5 billion people. You got some of these cities that have, like, you know, 50 million people. And they don't hit. I mean, you got isolated areas where they could easily just hit people and leave them for dead.
Yeah, but the populations are so few. I'm not excusing.
My point being,
there's different variables. You can't compare them to equally.
You're in a place here where people are supposed to know better and do better, and yet there are more people that get ran over. There was one just last week. Guy got hit three times. Three different cars ran over him.
That's not funny, but it's funny.
No, in Los Angeles, somebody in a late model Audi sports car hit this guy. Then they said another, it was like a white Lincoln car ran over the guy. Then
I want to know what he's done in his life, because this sounds like punishment to me.
Must have been.
I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, and I say it out of jest, but...
Just the cruelty of it. Then the third car hit him. They didn't know what they hit. Because by this time, you know, it's like, what was that? Because you can't make it out. And they got out of the car, and they said it was a little old lady and a kid. They got out of the car. They all they could see was some camera from somewhere saw them look at, oh, shit. You know, they backed up, the body dislodged from underneath it, and they drove away. And they drove away. Three cars. But that happens pretty frequently.
You don't know how many people have hit people and stopped and helped them, because they don't put that stuff on the news. It's much more salacious. I did see one recently on the radio where they said some lady hit somebody. You know, she stopped, called 911, tried to help. They didn't put any charges. It was just an accident. The person just stepped out.
My point being is that...
I just feel like they play more negative than they do positive, and that's their fault. But...
No. It is a serious problem. Can you imagine?
It is a serious problem, but it's an easy fix. You know, and if you want people to stop using their cell phones, you create a dead zone in the car so they can't. That can't be hard to do. If you can fucking link...
When you're thinking that you're able to do whatever the fuck you want to do, you do it, and you don't worry about the consequences.
See, but my point being,
there's people, and you'll see them driving late model cars. You can hook that shit into your phone, into your car, and you can be hands free. But they choose not to even be hands-free.
But that's still distracted, even hands-free. Hands-free is not distracted.
At least I know you watching the road.
That doesn't mean you're paying attention to the road.
I feel better that you got your eyes forward and not down looking
at
the phone.
Coming from the guy who did a podcast in his car looking at me for 20 minutes.
What? No, and it wasn't 20 minutes. Everybody
from my house? To El Monte,
you were staring at me having a podcast. You are so full of
so
shit.
So my point is,
no,
I don't
you're
think
you're full
it's,
of shit.
I'm not full of shit.
Yeah, you are. It wasn't 20 minutes. Yeah, go back to the tape. It wasn't 20 minutes.
5 seconds is too long, as you just said.
That's my point.
So when you got in the car,
when you reminded me, what did I do?
But did you get in the car in your mind and say, fuck the world, I can do what I want?
No.
I'm going to fucking put everybody's life in danger.
No.
No. As no. I don't think most people are. I think most people are consumed with themselves and their lives, not at the expense of others, but at the expense of, I've got limited time, so much to do, I've got to multitask as much as possible. I think that's more, and unfortunately, the consequences that follow that, you don't realize until it's too late.
Yeah.
So that's the unfortunate part. Now, some of us get lucky, some of us catch ourselves before there are any consequences, but I don't think people are purposely getting in the car saying, fuck the world. Now, there's some that are.
Yeah.
But I would say that is a minority, not a majority.
The people that I see at least, and I've been keeping track of this, at least.
You really keep track of a lot of shit. You got a lot of time on your hands.
Because I got to do this damn podcast. So I come with some of my own fucking facts. I did some field studies.
Facts.
Yeah.
Triple F's.
I did.
Friendly Frank facts.
I done some field studies.
That's going to be
on
the truth news.
And I see at least Two cars a day go through blatant red lights. Just solid red that makes no sense.
Well, so what? So have I. And that's not even been on the phone.
No,
it's been distracted, but not on the phone.
No, but my point being, one of these days, that fool that's in a hurry, that doesn't mean the world anything bad. Yeah. He just wants to get to his girlfriend's house.
Sure.
Because she's naked waiting for him.
Okay.
And that light turns green and he steps on it the same time that fool should have got up early enough or shouldn't have been on his phone. Them two are going to meet. And they have met. And they're meeting a lot more because people are not.
But they are accidents. And they are accidents because of whatever. But accidents are going to happen. Now, you can do a lot for yourself, for your family, and for the rest of the world by being a little bit more cognizant. But, you know, nobody goes out there thinking, God, I hope I kill somebody today. Or at least most people don't.
No, but you can be, you can, I'll tell you another thing that's contributed to these people that have these accident avoidance systems. I think that they're taking more chances because they have that technology in the car.
It gives you a sense of security.
So they're weaving in and out because, you know, their computer's telling them, okay, you know, you can make this, you know, whatever.
True.
Or you can brake at this distance or whatever. But not everybody around them has that technology in their car.
No, I mean the fact of the matter is the day you get in a car, you're in a weapon. You're in an 80 mile an hour weapon. You know, and you do have to kind of think of that, and you know you do have to try to make sure you manage that, and you're being aware as much as possible. But let's face it, everybody,
take a deep breath and think.
In their own world, and they're just trying to do what they need to get done. And again. Sometimes your own world
sometimes interferes with my world.
I understand that.
And it goes up
the ladder.
I get it,
and I try to be cognizant of it. All I can control is me.
Right.
I can't control you. I can't control anybody. I can control me. And I try to make it a personal challenge to make sure I'm present in every little situation, regardless of what it is, whether I'm driving. Now, am I 100%? Fuck no. I work on the road, so there are constantly times where I don't have to. I choose to look at this. I choose to look at that. Now, I get reminded every now and then because I get a close call. I go, oh, shit, just put that down. You're going to be wherever you need
like
to be.
That's just like when we did that podcast, when you remind, hey, Frank. Because I can tell
fear.
Your eyes. Yeah, I know. I can see the fear in your eyes. And you're like, hey, man, you're driving. And I was like, oh, I'm so used to doing the podcast looking at you. That I forgot, but I mean, hey, we ain't had no close calls, did we? No.
No?
No. But
that doesn't make it any better.
No, it doesn't. That's my point. I was distracted. I was doing something that I don't normally do. And it could have turned out a whole lot worse.
Well, and I think we are
when you made me realize that, it registered in my head, oh, shit, yeah, I have been keeping my eyes off the road because my brain is thinking podcast time, not drive and podcast time.
But I think we are also a bit more sensitive only because we're on the road so much and we get to see so much.
Yeah.
I see a lot more bad driving when I'm out driving because you're just out on the road longer and you just think, man, it's like my fiance, she really pushes the limits to when she's got to get to work. Now, when she leaves to work, it's 4 a.m. But I've seen her tear out of the driveway before and haul ass because she's cutting it close. And she thinks that if she does 80 on the freeway, she's going to get to work so much faster than if she goes 60. And if you do the math, unless you're doing 100 miles,
right,
there's no time difference.
No.
You know, if you do, I forget what I did the math. If you do 100 miles an hour, you cover 100 miles, or you cover 100 miles, right, in 1 hour. If you do 60 miles an hour, you cover 60 miles. If you do 80, you cover like 65 miles in that hour.
Right.
The time difference is not what you think it
now,
is.
Now, because you brought that up, I'll tell you about the fare I had yesterday.
Okay.
Picked up at the prestigious UCI, one of the UCI students up there. Now, he's going to meet somebody at Albertsons for I don't know what exactly.
He's got to pick up his dope bag or what?
I think so. I can only catch part of the conversation. But he gets in the car and he's like, hey, man, can you step on it? Can you make it double time? Because I'm meeting somebody. You
That's
know,
my least and favorite
so,
request.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, you're asking me to break the law? Is that what you're asking me to do? And he, you know, he just smiled at me. He was going 9/10 of a mile. Not even a whole mile. We were going down a hill. Street. Yeah, down a hill. Not just down the street, down a hill. And I'm like, so in that period of time, you want me to drive fast for you? And I mean, it was 0.9 miles away. And I was like,
it's the lack of intelligence behind the question. Was
yeah.
Crazy.
It's going to get loud. They're rolling.
Yeah, I've had guys ask me to, you know, speed or to get it going or whatever it is. And I would just tell them, look, I'm going to get you to your destination as fast and safe as possible. And that's how I would end it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, don't ask me stupid questions. 9/10 of a mile. Is
9/10.
You're supposed
of
to be
mile.
Smart at UCI.
Yeah. That's what I was like. Don't you? I mean, can't you figure that out? 9/10 of a mile. How much faster can I get there?
Right. Well, we're probably gonna have to wrap this up now because we're getting booted out. Check us out at pickingupstrangerspodcast@gmail.com. Our Facebook is Picking Up Strangers. Friendly Frank, I'm going to have you take us out of here. And don't forget, next week, I want Truth
tell
News.
Tell them to subscribe.
You should subscribe on the links.
Yeah.
You'll get the episodes automatically sent to you. And,
where are we at on the links?
Are
we
everywhere.
On iTunes?
We're on iTunes. We're in Stitcher. We're on anywhere podcasts are found, actually. Amazon. Pretty much everywhere.
Man, you know, we're getting a lot of people from Saudi Arabia and Canada.
Yeah, they love
They're
us out there.
Listeners, yeah. St. Louis, I love you.
All right, Frank, take us out of here.
God bless you all. If you don't believe in God, good luck. No,